Well, there are five of us in the building today that were here 13 years ago when we opened. Pastor Jim and Pastor Linda were here. Pastor Marjorie was here. I was here. And our good friend Mary Roddy from Fort Lauderdale was here. And she called me up yesterday or the day before and threatened to show up today. She did. And she brought her friend whose name is Erica. Did I get that right? All right. Well, Erica, welcome. Now you're family too. Don't take long to become family around here. We are talking about spiritual gifts. We are on part four. So if you've missed part ones, two, and three, you can find it on the internet, or you can get a CD in the back, or if you ask real nicely, I'll just repeat myself. It'll be totally different because I never know what I say anyway. But I will tell you this. The Bible says signs, wonders, and miracles follow those who believe. You should have a question at this point. If you do not have a question, you're not paying attention. So the question is, okay, signs, wonders, and miracles follow them that believe. Believe in what? What do you have to believe in for signs, wonders, and miracles to follow you? And most people will say, you got to believe in God. And I will tell you, because I know too many people who believe in God and have never seen a sign, wonder, or miracle and never will. It follows those that believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. If you don't believe it, if you cannot conceive it, you will not receive it. I believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. I ask God for signs all the time. Show me a sign, God. And I'll be driving along and I'll see some sort of sign. I'll be walking along and I'll see a sign. And God is frustrated with what we've done with Christianity. I've told you this before. I'm going to tell it to you again. I was walking down the hallway, and God said to me out of nowhere, "Where is my miraculous?" Now, normally God doesn't speak very loudly to me. It's very silent. It's inside. It's a feeling. It's a thought. It's something from internal, because that's where the Holy Spirit lives, is internal. But this was loud. This was like, did I just hear that? I don't know if it was outside of my body or inside of my body, but I'm going to tell you it was loud. Where's my miraculous? I said, God, where did you put it? I'm not right. Shouldn't talk to God like that. I did not like the answer. I put it in you. The Bible says, Jesus says, greater things will you do than he did. That's a hard concept to understand or fathom, because we're normal, average people. Well, not y'all. Y'all are all above average. I'm going to stay out of trouble today. And yet, you have the ability for the miraculous. And some of you are in some positions right now, and you feel like you're underneath a rock, you're underneath a stone, and you couldn't even possibly imagine having the ability for the miraculous. Yet, I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you today that it is inside of you. You have the ability because God put it there. And the next thing God said to me was, I want to see it. I gave it to you to show it to me. God gave you the ability for the miraculous so you could show it to him. When you give somebody a gift, isn't it nice to see them use it, play with it, whatever the situation is? Do you like it when they put it back in the box and put it in the bottom of the closet so they can regift it 3 years later? That's not the intention of the gift. The gift is you want them to use it. God gives you these gifts for you to use them. Scripture. Now, is that where we're at? Okay, they tell me that's a healing scripture. Okay. So, we're talking about healing, one of the gifts that was listed that we've been going over, some of the different spiritual gifts, and I'll tell you again that we're never going to exhaust spiritual gifts. There's too many of them to go through, but we've picked some ones listed in the Bible to go through, and we're on the gift of healing. And we started that last week, and I didn't get finished with it. So, I believe healing is one of the most desirable gifts that we should have. If you have any compassion, if you have any care for your fellow man, you should desire to have the gift to be able to lay hands on them, to be able to pray for them, to be able to speak a word, to be able to do something to alleviate their discomfort. Or to shorten it. I used to think that the flu couldn't be healed. I'd never seen it before. It heals itself in about a week. It's pretty common. And then we got a call from a lady who wanted to come to the service 3 hours early. We're like, okay, you can come. Well, she had the flu. So she's sick as can be, sitting on the couch. I admire that. Not the fact that she came with the flu. Thank God none of us got it. If you're contagious, I'd prefer you keep a healthy distance. If you're not contagious, you should do whatever you got to do to get to where you got to go to, because the healing's in the house of God stronger than it is anywhere else. But she came. We gave her some cough medicine. And my cousin and I sat on each side of her, and we prayed for her. She got through the night. The next morning, I got a phone call. She said, "Pastor, I'm at work. And I don't have one symptom, one side of nothing. I am perfectly, perfectly healed." And God healed the flu. And that silly little thing was the last proof I needed that God can heal anything. I've seen him heal people on their deathbed. I've seen him heal malaria when the doctor said, "You're going to die." And I got a phone call. I hope I didn't tell this story recently. The kid had it was 107 or 108 degree fever. He was 18 years old. And they said, "He's going to die. You need to get to the hospital." And I said, "All right." And they came and picked me up. And we got to the hospital, and the kid's parents were Baptist missionaries. And the doctors called them in to say goodbye. So there's nothing we can do. He's had this fever for some time now. He's not going to make it. He's going to die any minute. And we couldn't get anywhere near him. I often tell people, if you get embarrassed easy, you might not want to hang out with me. Because I don't care. I don't care who's watching, and I don't care what they think. I'm going to do what I got to do. If God tells me to do it, I'm going to do it. And it may cause a scene. And I caused a scene in the lobby of a hospital. I started playing auctioneer. You've never been to an auction? Who'll give me one? Who'll give me two? Who'll give me three? Give me four? I did a reverse auction. God, we can't have no 108 degree fever. I need 107. Give me 107. I feel like it's going to be 107. No, wait a minute, God. 107. Can't live with 107. 107, he's going to die. I need 106. Make it 106. Wait a minute, God. 105. I'm calling for 105. I need 105. 105. And we're causing such a scene that the nurse came into the lobby and said, I don't know how to tell you guys this, but his fever's coming down. We auctioned that fever down to 98 point whatever. And he lived. The only limitation on God is the limits you put on him. Stop putting limitations on God. Receive his power. Receive what he can do for you. The power of refusal, one of the strongest things that a human mind has. I refuse this sickness. I refuse this disease. As the doctors are telling you it's whatever, whatever. No, I still refuse it. Miss Erica, do you remember your grandchild? Of course you do, right? You remember that day you were in here, this sanctuary, and you were crying? And I came up to you and I said, what's wrong? And you said, it's my grandchild. Where'd they fly him to? They flew him to St. Petersburg. And I've never told you this before, but those were the grossest pictures I had ever seen. Don't show me nothing like that no more. That was horrific. I said, what's wrong? And she said, he's got sores all over his face and genitals. Am I getting this right? Been a few years now. And he can't eat no more. Right? Okay. And they didn't know what it was. And I looked at Erica, and I don't know if you remember what I said, but I said, no! No! Erica looked at me like I was insane. I said, no! I said, no! That day, the illness dissipated. She showed me pictures again in 3 days. She showed me day one, day two, and day three. Day one was the grossest picture I ever saw of a baby. Day two, the baby was half healed, and day three, completely healed with no scarring. Is that correct? Sometimes you just got to say no. I'm making a stand. I'm not accepting what you're trying to give me. I'm not accepting this circumstance. I'm going to fight it. And I said no. Rebuking and refusal are very strong tools that God has given you to use. And that's why it's so important that you hang around the right kind of people, because when you're in that situation, you can't remember everything you've got to use. So you go to somebody and then somebody reminds you what we're capable of doing. When you're hurt, and you're down, and you think there's no hope, and you're scared because you don't know what's going to happen to that baby, and then somebody steps up and says, no! And then you watch things change. How could Erica ever not believe in God? That's God. Through the work of the apostles, Acts 5, 12 through 16, many God signs were set up among the people, many wonderful things done. They all met regularly in remarkable harmony on the temple porch named after Solomon. Do you understand that? Did you hear that? Because if you're struggling in your life and you can't get things right, I'm about to tell you why. Right there. They all met when? Regularly. That's not even the most important part. What's the most important part? In harmony. Remarkable harmony. They weren't concerned that this one held this position, and they weren't concerned that this one did this, and they weren't concerned about the mistake this one made and the mistake that one made. They just met in harmony. Psalms 133:1, blessings come from unity. And yet I still have people who think they can not like a brother or sister, and then this stupid thing is going to come out of their mouth. I love them, I just don't like them. That is the dumbest thing you can say. Stop saying it. What's the matter back there? You said that? I understand. Don't say it no more. Because it's not going to get you anywhere. See, you're not liking somebody in the church doesn't affect somebody in the church. It's destroying you. You want to be healed, but you don't want to do the things that you need to do to be healed. But even though people admired them a lot, outsiders were wary about joining them. On the other hand, those who put their trust in the master were added to the right and left, men and women both. They even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on stretchers and bedrolls. Hoping they would be touched by Peter's shadow when he walked by. Now, wait a minute. That is a strong dose of Christianity. When is the last time you waited for somebody's shadow to heal you? And yet there's power even in the shadow. Your healing is not contingent on the shadow. It's contingent on you believing in the shadow. The shadow's the shadow. It already has the healing in it. God put it there. There's a pastor in Fort Lauderdale right now whose faith was so strong. And I always tell people that I'm not going to be able to rise above your faith. If your faith's down here and you're expecting something from me, I can only rise to your faith level. And he came to me, and his faith was stronger than my faith. And he had a serious problem. And I looked at him and I said, "Hospital now." And he looked at me and he said, "I don't need to go to a hospital. I need you. The truth is, I just walked out of a hospital. They have no idea what's wrong with me. I need you." He had called me up and he said, "Where are you?" I gave him the address of where I was. He said, "I'm on my way." God did such a miracle that he gave his life to God and became a pastor, became a servant. What happened? Did God not do anything for you? Do you think God doesn't expect anything in return? You're wrong. God brought me back from death, and he expects me to serve him. He not only made a way for me to have eternal life in heaven, but he made a way for me to continue this walk on earth. And so I have to serve him. Well, you're just preaching because you got nothing else to do. Y'all have no idea. No idea where I could be and what I could be doing. But I owe God my life. If you have been saved, you owe God your life. And you're going to stand before him, and you're going to realize, "God, I owe you my life." Doesn't happen very often, but I'll watch God do a miracle with somebody. And I watched God do a miracle for this young man. And after the miracle was done, the young man came to me and he says, "I owe God my life. I'm here to serve you. Whatever you need, I'm going to be right there." And a lot of people talk like that. A lot of people say what they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Then life gets busy, life gets complicated. They'd rather go here, they'd rather go this. And all of a sudden, the thing that they committed to is a vast memory. Not this guy. He stayed away from me, but his eyes were always on me. Three seconds later, he'd be by my side. Never failed. "What do you need, Pastor?" Tell him what I need. Done. And this went on for years until he moved away. So thankful that God had healed him. God saved you. Thankful for a day. No, you have to be thankful for your life. Nothing that you think matters, matters. What matters is the kingdom of God. What matters is you have an example that others can find the kingdom of God. That's all that matters. Everything else will come and go. I have a saying at work. The day started and the day's going to end. I don't care what difficulties we have in between. The day's going to start and the day's going to end. Always does. They came from the villages surrounding Jerusalem, throngs of them bringing the sick and bedeviled. We are living in a bedeviled society. People's minds aren't right. We had a situation in the last week or so, and we're astonished at the thinking that went on. And we still can't figure it out. But there's your answer. Bedeviled. How could you come to that conclusion? How could you make that choice? How could you do what you just did? Because it makes absolutely zero sense to anybody else but you. And the pills keep coming. They're not to cure your bedeviledness. They're to disguise it. But it's still there. But look at this. And they all were healed. And people will tell me sometimes that, well, God didn't heal them and they passed away. Oh, no, they're healed. God said, by his stripes, you are healed. It just doesn't say which side of eternity you're going to be healed upon. But on the other side, you're completely healed. No sickness in heaven. No diseases in heaven. No paralyzation in heaven. Let's go to the next scripture. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. What you been doing? The blind can see, the lame can walk. Provisions are plentiful. The miraculous has been done. You're teaching. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm leaving. I'm going to the Father. People talk like Jesus is right next to them. Jesus ain't anywhere close to you. He left. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. You should be counting your lucky stars, if that's what you have luck in, that Jesus ain't here. Because he would lay it out for you. I had to lay some things out Friday night. Jesus would lay it out for you. He didn't pull no punches. He didn't hold back nothing. He told you the way it was. And your little feelings can't handle that. We're too sensitive. Too sensitive. Jesus isn't here. He went to the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit to take care of you until the day comes he comes back. If he was here, he wouldn't have to come back. He'd already be here. Not here. But he is instructing the Holy Spirit on what to do on your behalf. That's another sermon. And this is a misconstrued scripture right here, verse 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus said, I'm going to handle your stuff so Dad can get the credit, so Dad can be glorified. And people say that. But you got to understand a few things about that scripture. Number one, you got to be in position. And you have to be in position so that your motive is correct. If Solomon would have went to God and said, God, give me wisdom and riches. Give me wisdom so I could be rich. God would have said, how about this? Goodbye, let me have a new king. But see, he went in the name of Jesus. Well, he didn't go in the name of Jesus at that time. Never mind that statement. But he went with the right motive of give me wisdom so that I could govern your people. Your people. Your people, God. I need to be able to understand how to do it. I need your help. That's what asking in the name of Jesus is. Listen, people use the name Jesus as if that's the magic key. That's not the magic key. The magic key is doing it in the, not the name. The name is the, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. In other words, if you're asking in his purpose, he will do it. The name, no. The purpose, yes. The motive, yes. The desire, yes. And there's people that are so shallow, they think by using the name Jesus, they can get whatever they want. And then they don't get what they want, and then they think God's failed them. God hasn't failed them. You failed God. It's in his name. His character. I ask God for all kinds of stuff. And God knows why I'm asking. He knows why you're asking. Is it selfishness? Can I teach you something? Sometimes you help people out of selfishness. You're not helping them because they need help. You're helping them because it makes you feel good. I like helping people when it hurts because I know it's not selfish. I know I'm not helping you because it's going to make me feel good and make me feel like I'm Mr. Christian and make me feel like I've done the right thing. No, I want to do it when, oh, okay. Because then it's not about me, it's about God and them. Yes, Shannon, it'll still make you feel good at the end. But there's that hesitation in there. There's that little bit of hesitation that says, you know, whew, they don't, you know. And then all the thoughts come. Then Satan sees that hesitation. Woo, when he sees it. He jumps in there. Oh, they don't deserve it. Oh, they wasted their money. Oh, they're using it on ill-gotten things. Oh, they're doing this. Oh, they're doing that. If they'd get right with God, they wouldn't need that money. Satan just said all kinds of stuff. Well, I know you have. We all have. We all have. And I'll get somebody. I'm probably off on a good rabbit trail right now, aren't I? I'll get some. Was that my last healing scripture? Okay, good. So we'll go into the next thing is the miraculous next week. So I have somebody come to me and say, you know, I wouldn't give a rich person any money. That's the dumbest thing you could say. Don't speak too fast when I say something because it's not going to affect my next sentence. Do what God tells you to do. Don't question it. God's looking for obedience, not your logic. God told me to give a billionaire $5, I would walk up and give him $5. God told me to give a homeless person $5, I'd walk up to the homeless person and I would give them $5. Either you're going to be obedient to God or you're going to do it your way. Stop telling God what you will and won't do and try it God's way. Here's the beautiful thing, which is also the ugly thing. If you don't like doing it God's way, you can go back to your way. God won't stop you. But I believe with all of my heart, if you do it God's way, you'll never want to do it your way again. Father, we thank you for the word today. Thank you for our brothers and sisters that have come home today, God. Miss Erica's here. How that makes my heart feel so good. For our new people, for our old people, we're just so grateful that we can be together and have this anniversary celebration. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do in the upcoming year. All the new people that are coming. And we believe that many will come this year, God. And many will receive you as their Savior. And many will seek to serve you. Thank you, Father, for all you do in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.